chapter 16. It is those two well-known verses in verse 15 and 16. I want to draw our attention to this evening. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. May God bless even his word, even those, the reading of his word tonight, to our own hearts. Tonight I want to make this as simple as possible. And for many of you it might be very simple, but it's to get across the simple teaching of God's word. My title, if I wanted to put a title on the sermon tonight, it would be Change. Change. What change? Change. Change. What change? Over these past few weeks and months, we have seen massive change. We have seen a world that has been rocked by a pandemic. We have seen communities driven into fear. We have seen so much change in our community through our businesses. Some of that has been really bad, and there'll be a lot more of that to come, I'm quite sure. People were not allowed out of their homes. People with shielding letters, and still that we have people today with shielding letters. The whole thing of social distancing is something which we can't get away from. We have moved from maybe never washing our hands to now washing our hands and sanitizing on a daily basis. But yet in the midst of all this, in the midst of all this badness, if you want to call it, I believe there has been some good things. I'm sure if you look back at your own life, there may be some things you think that's really good and like to hold on to that. In my work environment, I used to continually be traveling to Belfast. All of my work was face-to-face. And over the last 3 months, 4 months, it's all been put online. So for me, some of the good things is I don't have to travel as much. I was in Belfast on Friday, and I was just commenting on the fact that it's been 4 months since I had traveled from Omagh to Belfast. Needless to say, my petrol bill is a lot less than it used to be. I was getting somewhere around the range of 3 weeks to the gallon at one stage. Might be a wee bit more after this weekend. But there's been some good things. One of the good things, even from our church perspective in Omagh, we came together on a weekly on our prayer meetings, and we did Zoom for our prayer meetings. We actually broke our groups into smaller groups, and because of that, some people were praying which had never prayed before or very rarely prayed. So there was a great spirit of prayer, and there were some good things that came out of that. And imagine all the different churches that went online during this pandemic. How, in many cases, Facebooks and YouTube are just a massive amount of the gospel that is going forward. We must not miss and lose those things. But as a human race, I believe that we always love certainty. We love that. We don't really love change a lot. We like to be sure what's happening. And we are uncomfortable in many ways with change. And yet change is all around us. But we sort of have a tolerance to accept a certain amount of that. I've got three pictures across my desk at home, and they've been hanging there for years. And I just looked at one the other day, and it reminded me, and it said that we needed to ride the wave of change, or you will go under it. Change is happening all the time, and we need to go with it in many ways and accept it and to use it. A number of years back, in a particular company I was employed with, that company was going through a massive change and restructuring. And as part of that whole process, they brought in these outside consultants who were doing these team-building exercises. And one of them was a very simple exercise, and that was you had to get a partner, and you had to make a change to your person. So you stood back-to-back, made a change to your person, maybe took your tie off or whatever it was, and then you had to turn around, and the other person had to point out the change. After three or four times, we started to get concerned that we would have no clothes on because people were taking off jackets and they're ready to take off the shirts and all the rest of it. And the man stopped it at that point, and he said, isn't it funny that sometimes we see change as negative and sometimes we see change as taking something off rather than putting something on? It was a major learning for me that day that in the midst of what we were going through, change, we've seen it as negative, but whereas it could actually be seen as positive, and it could actually be an opportunity. And maybe through all the different things we've got going on today, there is opportunity for us within the church. We're not always losing something, but maybe we're able to put something on or to do something. Maybe there's a positive. Our life, as I said earlier, is full of change. If you think about it, conceived in the womb and 9 months later we're born, what a change. Early years at home and then into primary school, what a change. I'm quite sure that many have a parent leaving off their child for the first day at primary one and the tears are flowing. What a change for that child. Some of them thought they were getting home again. They'd be home the next day, and yet they're at school for the next number of years. Primary school to secondary school, from secondary school into college and university. Our life is continually changing. In our first job, different. Maybe even the first time when you had to pay money into the house. You used to think money was your own, and then your mother used to take it off you. And then you got married, and then you had no money. Maybe learning to drive. All change. First boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, all change. We live in constant change. We can't get away from it. And I'm quite sure that many of you here today would have many different stories of change and things that have happened in your life. We look at the world, major world events, and we see things that have rocked this world. I remember one day I was sitting at a particular table in Warren Point, actually, and it was the announcement of the Trade Towers, or the Twin Towers, how that terrible atrocity had taken place, how that changed the world, how that changed security, how that changed air travel. A number of years later, we had the recession. A number of recessions have happened. Banks closed, businesses closed. And yet in the middle of that crisis, there was opportunities of people opening. There was a change. And so it is even with COVID. Life will never be the same. It will be different to a point. But change can also be innovation. We look at our cars today, how they've innovated from what they used to be. Some of the cars I used to have in my early days were, even you had the heater on, there still was a cold draft coming in through the car. There wasn't the same insulation. My first job, really, in the big bad world as such, was in the tire industry. You look at tires today, how they've changed. It used to be you had to put a tube in them, and then they became tubeless. And some of the things they're now working on in innovation, they're actually airless tires. They're like solid tires now. You look at aeroplanes and how life has changed even with them. How it used to be a big thing to travel anywhere, and now the world is your oyster as such. Look at how our homes have changed, our phones have changed. Look even today at what we have with the internet. It used to be you had to sit and wait for that wee dial-up thing to happen, and now it's instantaneous. I remember years ago watching a film, and I was watching this man speak to another man on the telephone, and I could see his face. My mother said to me, "Now switch that television program off. That's the most stupidest thing I've ever seen." And now we contact our son in Canada once a week or so by mobile phone, and we can see his face and he can see ours. Innovation and change is happening. But you know, sometimes we get involved in work, and somebody one time said to me that he was talking about marketing. He says marketing was like a three-legged stool. He said there was three parts to that stool, and that was one, the market, the message, and the means and the mode of getting the message out there. And really the portion of scripture I've read tonight, I'm not going to do anything to do with business, but I'm thinking of that tonight, even as we realize that there's some lessons for each one of us. If we think of the market or the people that we are going after from according to our portion of scripture, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Our market is the world. Our market is every creature. That has not changed. You see, we have all this change going on and all this uncertainty going on, but that has not changed. And I want us to think as God's people tonight to realize that that has not changed. We can't get away from it. We who are saved tonight still have the same commission to get into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We look at the missionary endeavors of our denomination. I'm sure you are well aware of it being in this church. Our foreign missionaries into India and Africa, into Spain. Our home missionary work, we just heard mentioned even today about the kids club that's happening this week, the holiday club. Look at the technology. Look at the change that has been. We're taking things that used to be in person and now online. We have people who are focused on particular the drugs and people involved in drug addicts. Gospel missions, these are all ways which we're reaching out into the community. How we're using technology like the radio and television. And some people within that market, if you want to call it, are niching down into certain areas which they are called to. But as we think of that, in many cases, one of the dangers that we have is we look at the market and we look at that missionary, that massive field of the world, and we think, well, I can't do that. But where am I today? Well, simply, I'd like to say that your world, for you to get into all the world, is in your home. For you to get into the world is your family. For you to get into the world might be your friends. Now, I wonder how many people you spoke to this week or advertised this week to about the church service. Or many people gave out a gospel tract or sent something through the internet or sent something through WhatsApp. All these things now which we can do. Getting the gospel out in so many ways is so much easier. Maybe it's the places where you're shopping. It might only be the man or the woman who comes to your door. I was blessed one day and I got into a conversation with the DPD man who delivers the parcels off. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I get a parcel. I get so excited the other week I couldn't even remember what I'd ordered. I looked at the parcel and it was a lovely box of sweets in it. Somebody from our church had sent me, so it was something good to open up. But again, a conversation with that DPD man, it turns out he was a fellow believer. How even reaching out to a man like that and the opportunities he has is going around the community might even be your postman. Our world might be our social media. You know, many times people are using social media and it's sometimes the biggest load of rubbish that's out there. But imagine the people that you can connect with. I mentioned this morning that I had been doing a little bit of cycling. It is a little bit of cycling, but in the month of June, I decided to cycle, do 200 miles during the month. And through the use of social media, I helped raise nearly £1,900 for charity. And some of that money came from America, and some of it come from India, all because of social media. So the power of social media today is immense. Our market is to the world, to every creature, to the whosoever will. The danger, I suppose, and where we have been over these last number of weeks and months is as we get through this change and the difficulty that we've had, we have been driven indoors. And many of the messages we've had is from what the media has been giving us, and we have withdrawn ourselves from society. We have closed down, and we haven't looked to other people. We've been looking to self. Many people have been paralyzed with fear, worrying about the present and also worrying about the future. And that's understandable. But we need to be very careful to what we're listening to, of course, as we spend time on the media. Ultimately, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give us the direction. As it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who's going to go for this market? Who's going to go for this world for Christ? Let us never lose sight of why we're here and what Christ wants for us. You know, sometimes, and I've been through this in our own church, where busy organizing things, focused on getting the church open, focused on all the social distancing, focusing on all the sanitizing, it's all proper, but in those moments, do we lose sight of what the church is for? Change. What change? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Our market is still the same. But I also want to think very quickly of the message that we have here in this verse. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel has not changed. The gospel has not changed. Turn with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that just brings it, the gospel, into a nutshell for us today. 1 Corinthians 15, just those first four verses. And it says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, to keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel is still the same. It hasn't changed. See, whenever we start to look at Scripture, and especially I always think of even the Roman road, and we look at that. And it says there in that Romans 3:10, it's written, "There's none righteous, no, not one." That hasn't changed. And I don't know your heart tonight. You're in this service. You may be unsaved tonight. Well, you're not righteous before God. You're not righteous. That hasn't changed. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And we look at our society and we see that clearly. They do not understand. And there's none that seeketh after God. There's a woman been attending our church, and she's heard the gospel. And she's heard the gospel. And yet she still thinks she can do it on her own. Doesn't understand. She still is blinded. She's still not seeking God. She thinks she can do it on her own. It even goes on further in Romans 3, verse 12. "They're all gone out of their way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." As we stand before God, we are guilty, we are unrighteous, and we have no hope. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot attain salvation. It is impossible for men or women to achieve salvation of themselves. It is impossible. Men and women are still sinners. This has not changed. Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "Christ died for the ungodly." Understand tonight that even in this difficult thing as we look at it, that Christ, he sees people, they're not righteous, but Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. It even says in Romans 5 and verse 10, "We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." There is that coming together only by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe tonight, one who is unconverted, there's no hope for you. In and of yourself, there is only hope as you come to Christ. He is the one who has made provision. He is the one who has paid the price of your sin. It says in Romans 5 and 11, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." That is, that word atonement has the idea of covering. That is the salvation. If you know the book or the story of Noah and that ark and how it was covered within and without with pitch, that idea of the word pitch, the deeper meaning there, has the idea of atonement. It's a covering. And it's even deeper. It's that idea of a barrier against sin. And so it is, as a believer, we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a covering tonight. We are atoned only through his blood. It was brought home to me as I think even of that Ark of the Covenant. As you look into the Ark of the Covenant, if the lid is lifted off, you look in and you see there the commandments. And the commandments condemns us. The commandments condemn us. We're judged by them. But it is that lid that goes on it, that mercy seat. And on that mercy seat is a sprinkling of the blood, that covering, that atonement that covers it. It makes a way for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. This verse hasn't changed tonight. The gospel is still being preached. The gospel is still available tonight. It hasn't changed. Change? What change? For the wages of sin is death, it says in Romans 6 and 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you stay in your sin, you will die in your sin. There is no salvation there. But as you take that gift of God that is given through Jesus Christ, you have salvation. It's when you call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even as we talk about that woman this morning, she came with a desire in her heart. She came and she called. She repented of her sin. She turned to Christ. You know, the danger that we have as we look throughout Scripture and the things that we see, and some of these things never change. It says there in Romans 10 and 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And the sad thing is that people come into our churches year after year. Families that grew up in the churches, they hear the gospel. In many cases, some of them might make professions and they disappear. There was no possession of the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And they leave a church that preached the gospel. And they go out in rebellion against God. In Matthew 28, which is the corresponding chapter such to Matthew or to Mark 16, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, that lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is this idea of teaching, there's the idea of bringing the gospel, but there's also the idea of discipling the people. And there has to be something here of where we are taught also as God's people. As we bring the message of the gospel and see people saved, there has to be that change in the life and that continual learning, and that continual discipling of them. And the very first thing that we would see in here is we are to go. And today, if you're not taking the gospel to someone, you are living in disobedience to God. There's other things it teaches us in Scripture as we go through them. In Matthew 22, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's the first and great commandment. That's the love that we should have. And maybe tonight, we as God's people, we need to really look at ourselves tonight and say, do we love him with all of our hearts? Or are we just coming to church out of habit? And it's a good habit, by the way. But do we love the Lord with all our hearts? It's a question to you and it's a question to me. As old John Wiley used to say, it's the finger to you and the thumb to me, is what he used to say. And the second thing he said here was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the second commandment. I wonder, are you loving your neighbor? Do you love those around you for Christ's sake? It tells us in Luke also that we are to deny himself, we are to deny ourselves, and we're to take up that cross daily and follow him. I wonder each day as we get up, do we really follow Christ, or are we following our own agenda? I know we all kind of plans for our life, for our business, for our home life, all these things for our kids. We all want them in the best schools. We want them all the best careers. But let's hope it's not at the expense of them following Christ. And that daily taking up the cross. We are told in Romans 12 and 2 that we're not to be conformed to this world. We're not to be shaped to what this world can give us. We're not to be put into that mold. We're to be different tonight. We're to be stand out in a sense for Christ. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. On Friday night, Reverend Higginson gave his decision that he was going to the church in Lisburn. And today I got the opportunity just of listening to his explanation and his call to his congregation in Coleraine. You couldn't fault what he said. It was very clear that as far as he was concerned, and he proving it from Scripture, that the direction he was going was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even though you might want to stay, even though you might be comfortable where you are, he said the only way he had was moving forward. Maybe tonight, speak to some of God's people. Maybe you've been holding back on something for you. Maybe God has been speaking to you and you've been putting the brakes on tonight. Well, then you may need to take this verse of Scripture and prove what is good, what is acceptable, and the perfect will of God. How we need to move forward with the right people. How we need to move forward and not to be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. As the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness? We need to be careful not only in our lives and our relationships and our business, all of these things. We need to be so careful in all of these things which we do. Change. What change? As such, as we look at it, the market has not changed. The message definitely has not changed. The God that we serve is still the same. He hasn't changed. Malachi 3 and 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." If there's a time in this, in our society, that we need, here's a great promise that we can hold to. We talk about the market. We talk about the message. And thirdly, I want to talk about the means or the mode of getting the message out there. How do we get the message out there? It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That word preach, and I know that many times we look at preaching as maybe what you'd see happening here, or you see the minister preaching in an open air and you see that as preaching. But the idea of preaching is the idea of heralding something forth. It is proclaiming something. It is proclaiming it with an authority, or you're publishing something. So if you think about it, we preach in so many different ways. What means or what mode are you using to get the gospel out into your market, into your world, into your community? How are you getting out? We may be getting out through the church, where we invite people to church. I'm thankful for, even over these last few weeks, the number of people who we've had attend church online even has been great. I was looking today, our church in Oma, we had a couple of people listening in from the United States of America. The ability today that we're reaching across the world, last week with some in from Africa and different things, this is the ability that we have today. Maybe we're getting the gospel out through not just the church, but through the Sunday school, through the children's meeting, or through the holiday Bible clubs. We've just seen children. My wife has mentioned earlier about the five-day club this week. We've had children who we have no connection with who have signed up for the holiday Bible club. Opportunities to get the gospel into homes that know not Christ. Maybe you're called even to use tract distribution. Opportunities to reach people who even come to the home to give them that. Maybe you're doing it through open airs. Maybe even doing it through missions. I know our church has had missions, gospel missions, around this country. And even through the pandemic, one of our ministers, he had an online mission. Seen people saved through it, using different means to get the gospel out there. Missionary work, and so often we talk about missionary work or full-time work in many ways, but each of us are involved in missionary work. Each of us are in full-time work for the Lord. our church in Omagh, we had the opportunity in the last number of years of doing the farmer's market once a year, the big the Omagh Show, as such it was called, taking a trade stand there and reaching into the community with the gospel. Our church as a whole has been using the radio, it's been using television, it's been using the internet. All these are means to get the gospel out. And we need to make use of them, of course. One of the things we even did this last year is we ended up having a breakfast for men. Great opportunity. There was over 20 unconverted people in that day to hear the word of testimony, using all means. We're using the online sermon audio people are using, Facebook live events, ads on Facebook, announcements, sharing, liking, comment. These are all small things that people can do. Putting the sermons onto YouTube, Twitter. There's been massive change in this area, how the gospel has been published today. But it's still preaching, still heralding forth, it's still proclaiming. In many cases, some of the change that has come and people see it as change has maybe been uncomfortable. Some men maybe don't like using social media. Some people have found it difficult to move. But the reality is we need to use all means. I know that whenever we first started from a church perspective of thinking of using Facebook as a way of getting the gospel out, there were some people who were opposed to it, and that's understandable. But have you ever thought of the situation which we are in today or what we've come through? I want to take you back. If you please turn to Acts chapter 1. Just one verse there. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." But it didn't happen straight away, because the people stayed in Jerusalem. And then if you fast forward to chapter 8, in verse 1, and it says there, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word." Do you see there had to be some great event that happened? And is it possible that this pandemic, which we have just come through, has been a great event to shake up the gospel, to shake us up, to get the gospel out in other ways? 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22, he says here, "To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That I might by all means save some. We need to use all the means that are available to us, legally speaking, to get the gospel out there. The world is our market. It is where we're to take the gospel and to take the message. And tonight, if you're in this service and you're yet unsaved, we plead with you to turn to Christ. There's men in this place I'm sure would love to speak with you and to point you to Christ.